One of the things a lot of people have in common is forgetfulness. Maybe you fall into this category. Maybe there is someone in your house or in your life who says, I forget where I put my glasses. Someone else says, I forgot and I forget where I put my phone. And then maybe you find people, they're headed out the door and they say, I forgot where I put my keys. Well, people sometimes do get forgetful. They may even forget an appointment. Forgetfulness is generally not something that people want to experience. There are people who take supplements or they try mental tricks to remember different things. And a long time ago, there was a denominational preacher by the name of Spurgeon. He gave some advice, some really good advice when it comes to forgetfulness. He said, pray. Pray for a short memory as to unkindness. Now, I suspect that no one here has ever heard someone lead a public prayer. And in that public prayer, the person who was doing the praying said, oh God, make us forgetful. Now, if someone spoke those words, I think heads would probably pop up and say, no, what did he just say? What's going on? But imagine if a person said in a public prayer, God, help us to be forgetful as far as the wrongs that are committed against us. That would certainly be an appropriate prayer. If we've never prayed for a short memory, as Spurgeon described it, we might try it. And we say that because of what the Lord said in the latter part of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. He said, forgive us our debts, as we looked at this morning. But in that latter part of the verse, Jesus said, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Jesus says if we want to be forgiven by God, and he does offer to push those sins off the cliff, so to speak, he offers to bury them, release us from them fully. He says there is a condition. We must also be willing to forgive the people who sin against us. All too often, it is easy for us to see forgiveness as a one-way street. We want to go to God. We want forgiveness. We want God to release us from our debts, our quote-unquote transgressions, as we talked about this morning, the sins that we have. But when it comes to our forgiving others, well, that's sort of a different story. God, forgive us, but as far as me forgiving others, I'm still kind of struggling with that. Tonight, we want to think about and look at some tips for how we can forgive others. The graphic that we have been using today reminds us that we want to think about forgiving others. We want to push those sins, those debts, off the cliff. But that can be a difficult experience sometimes. Thinking about physical debt, material debt, financial debt, getting out of debt can be a problem for a lot of people. It can take years. And sometimes those struggles also apply to the spiritual realm. Now, when we start talking about forgiveness, it might be helpful to define forgiveness. If I say, I need to forgive you, or you need to forgive me, what are we saying? Well, basically we're saying that there has been a fracture, there has been a disruption in our relationship. Somehow our relationship that was formerly good has been broken. And that broken, that disturbed relationship is going to be repaired. And it's going to be repaired not to a small degree or a great degree. We want to restore that relationship to what it was and maybe even make it better. Suppose, since we're talking about debt, suppose that we have a credit card. And the dollar amount as far as the limit on a credit card is $10,000. That's not an uncommon limit in today's world. We max out the card by the end of this month. We literally charge $10,000. And with that $10,000 debt, we understand, at least we should understand, that we have a debt which needs to be paid. The company that is backing that particular card is likely not going to authorize any more money until we pay the $10,000 that we've charged. Now, if we get the bill and we pay that $10,000 that we charge, then that credit card company will allow us, that issuer will say that all is well. Forgiveness operates in a same way, in a similar way at least. It is a damaged relationship which has been fixed. And if that forgiveness is going to happen, it may be helpful to know how we make that happen. Well, one might expect if God tells us to forgive, as we find here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, if we study his word, there's probably some additional information somewhere in scripture that tells us how we can do better and how we can be successful as far as forgiving people. And we find some tips. Tip number one, at least for me, comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 85 verses 2 and 3. The psalmist said, thou, that would be God, has forgiven the iniquity of thy people, the sins, the debts. Thou hast covered all their sin. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of an anger. In these two verses, Psalm 85, you find two things back to back. You find the idea of sin or debt. There is the trespass. But with that sin, with that debt, you also find the idea of anger. When we think about someone failing or refusing to forgive people today, oftentimes those circumstances, whether it involves our life or the life of someone else, we see anger. And there is not just anger. Perhaps there is a lot of anger. When forgiveness occurs, when that restoration happens, then that anger is removed. It dissipates. It is eliminated. If we want to forgive someone, perhaps we're still struggling with something that has happened many years ago in the past. Maybe it's something that's recent. Work on the anger if that is there. When you look at angry people, when you hear or see angry people, you find people who are not calm people. Last Thursday, I lost the morning. I lost the morning because I was trying to work out a problem that we had here associated with the building. I was not too happy with the people I was being bounced around to because I had a signed contract that was not being honored. Now you might think, well, that would have been pretty simple, but again, that's what it was. And at one point in the mess, got a hold of a rep and she said, you know, by the time people get to me, they're usually pretty upset, screaming and hollering. And she said, you're not exactly like the other callers. I said, well, I want you to know that my lack of screaming and hollering does not mean that I'm happy. It does not mean that I am pleased with having a contract that I signed and then being told that it is invalid. We still have a big problem. But there are some who get angry. There are people who get really upset and they say, I will never forgive. I will never step foot back in this business. I will never buy your products again. I am completely done and through with you. And they are good to the word. They go to their graves doing exactly what they said. And when people carry out those kinds of threats, sometimes those people can be Christians. They say, I will not, I will never forgive. If we are ever going to be successful when it comes to forgiving someone, we need to have some calmness. We need to have some thoughtfulness. Now someone says, well, how am I going to achieve that in my life? Well, how you achieve that might be different than how I achieve that. There's some people, they calm themselves down by a timeout. There's some other people, maybe they go out to the golf course, or maybe they wash some dishes, they get some exercise, maybe they go out and walk, maybe they go out and run. There are other people, they want to find some humor, and that helps settle their mental state. But as long as someone is angry, it is very difficult to achieve forgiveness. If you're present this morning, you know that we looked at some information from Matthew chapter 18. There was this slave, the servant, and he owed a lot of money to a lord. We gave the equivalent, as far as his debt, to 60 million days of work. Now, I encourage you, if you're going to go out for lunch somewhere and you needed to pass some time, and we happened to have that experience, but we didn't do this, but if you wanted to pass some time, you could figure out how much that would be as far as 60 million days of work. Well, I'll give you some more information about that, but let's go back first to the slide that we looked at earlier. Pulling from Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 27, Jesus is talking about this kingdom. He compares it to a certain king who one day wants to settle up with the servants, and there's one servant who owes him 10,000 talents. Now imagine being the lord of the king in this story. Imagine someone owing you the equivalent of 60 million days of work. That would be several million dollars. If you didn't try to calculate out the math, here's basically what that boils down to. That would be someone working 7 days a week for more than 163,000 years. Now you let that settle in. Someone owes you an amount of money which is more than 163,000 years of work. They have to work 7 days a week and they can't take out anything for living expenses. Everything, every single penny that they make 7 days a week for more than 163,000 years is going to go to you to repay the debt that we have here in Matthew chapter 18. Well, there is no way under the sun that this slave, this servant, could have repaid the smallest fraction of this amount. But the master has the servant come before him, and as we have highlighted in red and yellow, he was moved with compassion. He says, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to clear the debt. The fractured, the broken relationship that we have, it's going to be restored. And it was. If we want to forgive someone, tip number one that we looked at a moment ago, get rid of the anger. But now we find if you want to forgive someone, here is tip number two, and that is show compassion. Someone says, well, that's hard for me. Well, forgiveness is hard work. But if you truly want to forgive someone, you need to have these two steps. And when we show forgiveness, we decide really that we're deciding to do good to our enemies. And that's what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 20 to 21. He says, if you have an enemy, do good to him. Don't hate him. Don't loathe him. Don't wish bad things for him. But if you have the enemy and he's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, find something to drink and give that to him. And he says, if you do that, you're going to heap coals of fire upon his head. Don't become someone who is consumed with evil, but overcome evil with good. We are human beings. Sometimes the world tells us that that's not the case, but we are human beings. And as people, we can control our thoughts. The Bible specifically says that we can have control over our thoughts. Think about what Paul says to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, he says there are some things that are true. He says there are some things that are honorable. He says there are things that are just. He says there are things that are pure and lovely. There are things that have virtue. And then he says, if there be any praise, think on these things. Paul believed that the Philippians could have some control over their thoughts. That was true for them, and this is also true for us. We can think about when it comes to someone who has hurt us, injured us severely. We can think about the damage that they inflicted on us. It is possible for us, because we are thinking creatures, it is possible for us to rerun that information over and over and over in our minds. We have the ability to replay evil words that were spoken to us. In fact, you might say that we can have more reruns in our mind than Hollywood is able to put out for TV shows. If we allow our thoughts to feed on the injustices, to feed on the bad things that people have done to us, we will destroy ourselves. We will destroy ourselves mentally. We will destroy ourselves physically. And most importantly, we will destroy ourselves spiritually. You see, when we start thinking about forgiveness, there's an end goal. And that end goal is this. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 22. This is God speaking through Isaiah. He says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. In this verse, the prophet compares God's forgiveness to a thick cloud. Well, if you've ever been on an airplane, and several of us in this assembly have, there may have been, especially if you were sitting by the window, an opportunity to look outside. And perhaps you're hoping to see something that was attractive, but as you looked outside, you raised up the window, it's a cloud. And it was a cloud that you couldn't see through. It was a thick cloud. And you're flying through the clouds, perhaps for an extended period of time, and you're thinking, I really would like to see something besides that old cloud. Well, God uses that illustration here in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 22 to describe forgiveness. Imagine being wronged by someone. Maybe this will be future, or perhaps this is something that has happened in the past. Maybe we've been injured or will be injured by cruel words. And it is a conversation that someone has with us that the words just cut us as deeply as anyone has ever hurt us. But the person who says those hurtful remarks, they leave. And unknown to us, a year passes. The person who said all those hateful things over that next year, 365 days, continues to think about what he or she said. And then a year later, exactly 1 year later, that person comes back to us and says to us, I want to talk to you about something. Well, okay. I want to revisit what happened a year ago. I said some horrible things to you. And I've been thinking about that for a year. I've waited too long. But today I've come to apologize. And after hearing those words, our reply as a Christian is this. I do not remember what you just described. I've got no recollection of it. No matter how hard, no matter how graphically you describe what apparently you think took place with me, I cannot remember. Maybe you're thinking about somebody else. Oh no. Oh no. It was you and we were here and I can't even remember the time. The person assures us that he or she was the one who verbally assaulted us. But after we are unable to remember what took place, our response to that person is simply this. You were forgiven. I'm not sure exactly when the forgiveness process took place, but you were forgiven, and I have no memory of the event. What you did to me is like what we have here in Isaiah 44 and verse 22. I can't see through the cloud of forgiveness. Jesus said, if we are willing to forgive in this way, then the Father, Matthew 6:12, we've got it right before us, he's going to forgive us as we have forgiven our debtors, or the people who sin against us. Now, if what I just described were to actually play out, can you imagine the effect of that conversation on the person who verbally hurt us? For the person who's been struggling for a year, battling guilt, mentally troubled, hearing, it's not an issue, at least not for me, it's gone. The person who did the attacking, if that were our response, would probably remember that for a long, long time. That person might also say, what makes you, are you just old and forgetful? Or is there something about your life, is there something about your thinking process that would cause you to work on forgetting that incident? Tell me a little bit more. And we might say, well, I'm a Christian. To the unsaved and perhaps to even some new Christians, that would probably seem to be very, very strange behavior. If we fail to really try to live the Christian life, and some do, forgiveness is going to be an awfully difficult thing to do. But if we will truly try to live the Christian life, forgiveness does get easier. Let's go back and take another look at Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5 and verse 44. Jesus said, but I say unto you, if you have some enemies, you love them. And if there's some people who are persecuting you, Jesus said, I want you to pray for those people. When you look at the unsaved, they do not love their enemies. Those who are uninterested in Jesus Christ generally do not want to forgive their enemies. They want to bring up what their enemies have done time and time again. But the Lord said, if you want to be one of my people, if you want to be a Christian, you look at your enemies and you love those enemies. And then if Jesus had not given enough with that, he said, I'll tell you something else. I also want you to pray for these people as well. It is difficult. It is exceedingly difficult to harbor grudges against people that we have the kind of attitude towards that we're talking about tonight. When we're praying for our enemies, when we're praying for the people who don't love us, it's hard to not forgive them. When it comes to our enemies, of course, I think most recognize that enemies are not always in the same category. There might be some people, they are an enemy, and we're disconnected from them, and for whatever reason, we never see them again. But then there are enemies in life where we may see them on a fairly regular basis, maybe at work, maybe in the neighborhood, wherever that is. When trying to forget an enemy, Spurgeon's advice is very, very helpful. In fact, you find, and this is a different subject in Philippians 3 and verse 13, but there is certainly a valuable principle here. Paul said, brethren, I do not count myself yet to have laid hold, but he said, there is one thing that I do. Well, Paul, what's this one thing that you're focused on? He said, when it comes to the things that are behind, when it comes to the things that are in the past, I do my best to forget those things. Paul was someone who, when it came to the Christian life, he said, I'm thinking about the present, and I'm also thinking about the future. That stuff that's in the past, it is in the past. Don't dwell on past grievances. That's a principle that we can adopt from Philippians chapter 3. Let's look at it in terms of money again. Imagine a person who has paid off a large debt. Maybe they had some huge hospital bills. Maybe the hospital bills required 12, 20 years to pay off. Or maybe there was a home mortgage that required 30 years of payment. And one day, the debt's finally paid. As the hospital bill was managed month after month, perhaps as the mortgage was being paid off, perhaps the person had hours or even years of worry. But once you get the statement from the bank that says, no more payment, the hospital bill has been paid in full, no more house payments, that has been taken care of. Once that happens, people generally will put that in the past. They're no longer thinking about the house payment. They're no longer thinking about the hospital bills. And if someone were to bring that up several years later, they would say, well, I haven't thought about the house payment in years. We haven't had a house payment in 10 years. The hospital bills, that was so long ago. We've almost forgotten perhaps what the operation was about. That is in the past. We can control our thoughts. And we do have the ability to forgive. If we struggle to forgive someone, a person might say, well, all that sounds good, but I still really struggle. Someone has wounded me. Someone has really hurt me. Someone cost me in some very significant ways. If there's some times in life where you find that you're really struggling to forgive someone of something, then the next tip I have is look internally. Step back and look at your own life. Now, we've been looking at different points at Matthew chapter 18, this servant who owed the equivalent of 60 million days of work. But we've not gotten all the story. Let's move down a little further. Let's go to what I'm going to refer to as part two of the story. Matthew 18, starting with verse 28. We have this servant again. He's been forgiven of this debt, which is astronomical. And after he's been forgiven, he decides that he's going to go out. And he's not going to celebrate. He's not going to go home and tell his family, I've been forgiven. We're debt free. No, he goes out and finds one of his fellow servants. And this fellow servant owes some money. The Bible says the fellow servant owed him 100 shillings. Now that's equivalent to about $20. So he finds this guy who owes him $20. He lays hold on him, grabs him by the throat. Pay what you owe. And the fellow servant responds, verse 29, he falls down. He doesn't deny the debt. And he begs that servant who had been forgiven the astronomical debt, please wait. Have patience. I'll pay up. But the man was not willing to have patience. He said, I'm going to have you cast into prison, and you're going to stay there until you pay it all. The man who was forgiven also had someone who owed him some money. And it was not a debt like his. Not millions of dollars, not even hundreds of thousands, not even $100. Just 20 measly dollars compared to his multi-million dollar debt. Now there is, as you look at this account, a little detail that Jesus included, which I'm so glad that the Lord added. If I were hearing this for the first time, listening carefully, one of the questions I guess that might be, I would hope, would be going through my mind would be, Jesus, if you're telling me that this man was forgiven of all this money, and then there's this other guy out here somewhere that owes him just $20, and they meet up, the question that I would want to know, and perhaps the question that you would want to know, is how did they meet? Why did they meet? Was this a chance meeting? Did the guy who had been forgiven of this astronomical debt just happen to run into this fellow servant? And if he did, was he going to tell that fellow servant, hey, guess what? That huge debt that I had, it's been forgiven, and I'm so glad, I'm so pleased. I know that you owe me $20, but it is nothing. I want you to know that you are forgiven as well. The story could have ended that way, but it didn't. It takes a much different direction. Now, this man goes out not to find this guy and say you're forgiven, or not go out and head towards his family, but he goes out and he finds that fellow servant. That indicates to me he's looking for this guy. He has been forgiven of a multi-million dollar debt, and now the first thing on his mind is, I'm going to go find this guy who owes me $20, and I'm going to make him pay up. And if he can't pay up, I'm going to have him cast into prison until I get every single cent of that $20 bill. That's, of course, putting it into today's terms. He's going to have to pay what he owed. He finds the guy. And this second servant does essentially what he had done before the Lord. He says, please pay up. I'm not going to deny that I owe the bill. I'll pay. Just have patience. Let's go down a little further. Matthew 18, 31 to 33. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they knew what that servant who had been forgiven of the huge debt had experienced. They knew he went out and started to shake down this poor fellow who only owed him $20. They understood what had taken place, and they were sorry. They were upset. They were troubled at this guy's behavior. And after they got the facts, they come and they tell the Lord, the one who had forgiven that great debt, what was done. So the Lord reaches out to that servant he had forgiven, and he says, look, I'm telling you that you are not just a servant, but you are a wicked servant. And then he tells him why. I forgave you of this massive debt. Why? Because you asked me. I had compassion on you. Verse 33. Should you not also have had mercy on the fellow servant, even as I had mercy on you? What's the answer to that question? Absolutely. I mean, he should have been searching for this guy to say, don't worry about the $20. If you need some more, I'd be glad to give it to you because of how well I've been treated by the king. Now, these servants don't get, these extra people, these extra characters don't get a lot of additional attention, but they are an important part of this story. And they relay the information. And after that, Lord gets the information. He says to the one who'd been forgiven, you're going to be delivered to the tormentors. You're going to pay, and pay in some awful ways. We can look at this account and we can see without question how foolish that first servant was. It is almost impossible to conceive of anyone acting like that first servant. Out of all the details that we've seen in the account, though, we've still not gotten to the punchline. As amazing as this story is, there's still one more thing that needs to be brought forth. And it's in Matthew 18 and verse 35. So shall, here it is, Jesus says, this is the bottom line. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you. What does that mean? Deliver you to the tormentors. It's not going to go well for you if you are not willing to forgive your brother from your hearts. If the tips that we've looked at tonight are not enough to help us forgive someone of something that we feel like has just been maybe one of the worst things that has ever happened to us, then use this one. Matthew 18 and verse 35. Jesus said, unless we're willing to forgive, and unless that forgiveness is going to come from the heart, he says torment, eternal fire, separation from God will be our fate. There are certain things in life which are so bad, we know and we tell people, we urge people, stay away from this. Do not be involved with this. Get as far away from this as you possibly can. And refusing to forgive is in that category. When we struggle to forgive, and that can be a temptation for all of us at times, we need to think about the debt that God has forgiven for us, the debt of sin. When we find that it is hard to forgive someone for what they said or did or something else, what about the hundreds? What about the thousands of wounds that Jesus suffered but was willing to fully forgive us of? If we are interested and desire to hold on to grudges, God says he'll treat us in a similar way. We've not yet gotten too far into a new year. If there are people tonight that you can look back mentally and think, there's some people in my life that I have just not forgiven. Maybe it is something new. Maybe it's something sort of recent. Maybe it's something that has been lingering for a long, long time. Now is the time to extend forgiveness to that person. When we are tempted in this new year to not forgive someone, and it's going to happen sooner or later, know that that is the devil who is encouraging us to resist the will of God. God says, this is what I've done for you. And because of my forgiveness, you also have an obligation. And it is an obligation that we need to keep and fulfill on a regular basis. Tonight, if we can pray for you as far as helping you deal with forgiveness, we'd like to. If you're someone who has not been forgiven of that great spiritual debt you cannot pay, Christ stands ready to say, I've got it covered if you'll be one of my people. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism, faithful Christian living, and the debt is completely wiped clean. There will never be a better deal than that. And Jesus says, this is my offer to you as we stand and sing.